So, are you ready? Dear Jesus, Lord, I just pray for Helen now that you'll just bless her as she speaks to us. I pray your words of truth will come through there, and Lord, just open our hearts to receive what you have for us to receive. Lord, and if I know Helen, I know she would have prayed a lot over this, and she would have really sought you on it, and I just pray, Jesus, that we would just be open to receive what you're saying. Lord, bless her. And Holy Spirit, if there's anything to change, anything you want to add, anything that has not been planned, but you just feel that you want to put it out there, then I just pray Helen will be receptive to that, and that she would speak what you're putting on her heart at any given time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. I still call people my parents' age grown-ups. Twice this week, I've had cereal and popcorn for dinner, and there are more than one toilet rolls in my house that have got smiley faces drawn on them. There are days when I question my ability to adult, because growing up is hard. When you're a kid, you just want to be a teenager, and when you're a teenager, you just want to be an adult, and when you're an adult, you just want to be asleep, because growing up is hard. Because being an adult means that you're responsible and you're capable and you're independent. But is that how God sees maturity? Luke 18 says, "Let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." The world tells us to be one way. But actually, as is typical of the Bible and of God, he is looking for something else. He wants us to be childlike in our approach to him. We're his kids. We're not supposed to be strong, independent, and capable. We're meant to be vulnerable, dependent, full of faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. But hey, society says being an adult means being responsible. You've been given things like a house, a job, kids, and it's your responsibility to not trash the house or lose the job or misplace the kids. But actually, growing up with God, growing up in God, means that all of those big, heavy responsibilities just become one key responsibility. You are responsible to seek God. And actually, the more you seek God, the more he changes your heart, and the more he changes your heart, the more you treat his people and the things that he gives you with love and respect in the way that he wants you to. The more you trust that he'll take care of the things that he's entrusted to you. Psalm 24 starts, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." Think of it like this. If you rent a house, it's your responsibility to not destroy the carpet or to throw paint all over the walls or to trash the place. But if the wall just starts to fall down, it's the landlord's responsibility to fix it. Now, most of us, if we're Christian, get that our lives are not our own, that we're answerable to God. If you've got a partner, family, friends, you're responsible to treat them well. But they're not yours. You don't own them. They're God's. He's put them in your life, but he's responsible for them. What about when you mess up? When you don't behave responsibly? I remember being at a house party once. Christian house party, full of teenage Christians. And someone pulled the sink off the wall. I don't know how. A little bit want to say it's the fault of the parents, because their response was, "We're just going to leave this group of teenagers in the house with a load of alcohol, and we're just going to go for a couple of hours," and then they just came back with loads of bread. And that was how they dealt with that situation. Anyway, that's an aside. The sink was pulled off the wall by whoever, some teenager. It was not that teenager's responsibility then to get the sink fixed back onto the wall. it was the responsibility of the parents, the people that owned the house. Now, the teenagers might have been expected to pay some money towards it, but they were not going to be the ones getting quotes from plumbers, getting the wall fixed, any of that kind of stuff. And it's the same with us when we are dealing with other people. We mess up. We say things that are hurtful. We do things that aren't loving. And there may be things that God asks us to do to make amends or to bridge the gap that we've formed. But actually, the ultimate responsibility for your kids, your parents, your family, your friends, their well-being, that ultimately sits with God. And when we get this wrong, when we start to think that we're responsible for the way people are, the way they behave, or their feelings, their emotions, we start to take on a responsibility that isn't ours. We start to filter our own behaviour through what we perceive is the lens of how they might react. And although we are to be considerate of others and we're to love people, we're not to take on responsibility for their welfare. And what if you're not even messing up, but you have a responsibility and you're just terrified of dropping the ball? In the world, growing up means that your responsibility increases. In the workplace, for instance, you might start life as a junior, an intern, and your responsibility is to get to work on time and perhaps master the art of making tea. But as you grow in your responsibility and your role, then you're expected to do other things as well. I remember when I first started at my job, I could go home at 5:30 because as long as I did the work during the day to the best of my ability, I could go home and forget all about it. But as I grew in my role and my responsibilities changed, I started having a say over output. So if something didn't happen, it fell on me that it didn't happen. And that meant that I started to stay later at work. I'd go in at weekends some days. I took on responsibility. I don't think God sees maturity in the same light as we do. Being a responsible adult means that good or bad, it all falls on your head. It's your fault. But being a responsible child of God means that you know that if you keep giving over situations and people and possessions to Him, He will take care of it. Because ultimately, it all belongs to Him anyway. James 1:17 says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens." We're not the originators of our lives, and ultimately, the one who has responsibility for them is God. Now, you may have heard of the concept of stewardship, the idea that you are given someone or something to look after. It's mentioned a lot in the Bible. And what this tells us, this idea that God gives us things to look after, is that we have to have a light hold on those things because they're not ours to begin with. God may choose to give them to someone else. He may choose to take them back. Who knows? But actually, what happens to them is not our responsibility. As Christians, we can often put a lot of pressure on ourselves to grow the church, to grow our ministries, to just grow up. But our church, our ministries, our families, our friends, our jobs, they're not ours. We're given them to invest in, and we're to take that seriously. We're to steward well, but the overall responsibility lies with God. No matter how much you mess up, how much you do drop the ball, He can still fix it. Being a responsible adult means that you have to be cautious and take great care. But being a responsible child of God means that you can take risks, knowing that what you have isn't yours, so God will take care of it. Trusting your dad, that he will always meet your needs and the needs of your loved ones. Looking to him for your direction and trusting that even if you get it wrong, he'll guide you through it. Now, society would say that being an adult means being independent. I was at a supermarket yesterday and I saw a little girl, holding a basket because she'd been given the job of holding the basket. Now, she was not doing a good job, I have to say, and I almost stepped in. I almost, like, little girl, come just over here. You are not doing a good job. No, don't. No, look at me. You see the basket that you're holding? You're swinging it all over the place. See that man over there? Just hit him in the knee. That cucumber that's on the floor, that's on you. Pull it together. Come on, step it up. No, don't cry. The tears in your eyes are just going to hinder your vision, aren't they? No? Come on, Nat. No. Stop it. Pull it together. Okay, go team. Now, I didn't do that, but it does show... Yeah, I'd have been arrested, probably. It does show you that kids, even the simplest of tasks, they can't do it. They need a lot of help. They're not independent. They need other people around to support them, to pick up all the stuff that they're just dropping on the floor as they're swinging the basket behind them. Kids need help with everything, pretty much, because they're kind of rubbish. But we're told that being an adult means suddenly you become capable. Suddenly you're independent, you're an island. You don't need anyone because you got this. You got this. Now, I know you people, you don't got this. I have not got this. In comparison with God, none of us have. But why is it that we feel that suddenly, as adults, we're supposed to be independent and able to do things on our own? And yet, God sees us like that little kid just swinging the basket, thinking that we're doing it really well, when actually, we're not. The mark of adulthood to us is the ability to stand on your own two feet, to be able to handle whatever comes your way. Now, I walked downstairs a morning last week and noticed that there was a puddle of liquid on the floor in my kitchen. And I thought, one or two things has happened here. Either the house has developed some new water feature, or the cat is finally staging a dirty protest against the conditions she lives in. Now, after much panic, much looking nervously at the ceiling that I was fearful was about to collapse on me, I did what any strong, independent woman would do, and I phoned my dad, because I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know plumbing. I don't understand what you do. Now, he did manage to talk me through it, to reassure me that I probably wasn't going to have to spend thousands of pounds, but it highlighted to me that even after 10 years almost of living on my own, I still not need help with stuff. My toolbox has a sum total of one Phillips head screwdriver in it. And even that, I'm pretty sure I've lost. I can't do a lot of the stuff that I should probably be able to do as an independent person. I need help. But for some reason, we think that being an adult means you learn how to cope with everything on your own. If there's a problem, you fix it. But actually, the more you mature in your relationship with God, the more you realize that you haven't got it, that you're not independent, but actually you become more dependent on him. Acts 17 has a beautiful phrase in it that says, "For in him we live and move and exist." It's this idea that we're totally immersed in Jesus, that we have our everything in and through him. We need him for our very lives. He's the source of our physical provision, our encouragement, our guidance. And he might use other people to meet those needs in our lives, but it all comes through him. He puts us in relationships. He puts us in families. We're there to support and nurture each other. Now, we get that as Christians, we're supposed to be in fellowship with each other. It's not a word in the real world. And to us, that kind of means you rock up on a Sunday and you talk to at least one person before you have your bacon, make eye contact at least twice, and then just hope that no one asks you any deep and personal questions. But when was the last time that you actually had a proper conversation with a friend that you admitted your hurts and your fears, that you can't afford to pay the bills this month, or that you fear you're failing as a parent? We set ourselves up as independent because that's where it's secure. We're safe if we let the boundaries stay up. Or how dependent are you on God? Now, I can get that I'm dependent on him for money, for food, for provision. He got me my job, he got me my promotion, he got me my house. And yet, there's certain things in my life that I still think depend on me. He's been leading me through a bit of a journey recently. I had a fairly big, massive life decision that I needed to make, and my mind was full of my desires and my fears and my church upbringing. And it was all clouding my judgment, and it meant that I just couldn't logic my way through it. And now I was being a good Christian, because I know what I'm supposed to do, and I gave it to God, and I said, I need your opinion on this, I need your help on this, because I don't know what to do. And I was really, really hoping for a yes or a no, but I didn't get that. Instead, I got questions. I got, what are you scared of, Helen? Well, I'm scared that I'm going to choose the wrong thing, God. I'm really, really quite terrified of that. Well, is it what you want, Helen? Yeah. But I'm scared that I don't know what I want, God. Do you trust me, Helen? Yeah, I trust you. I just don't trust myself. What do you think I'll do if you get it wrong, Helen? Well, you'll carry me through it like you always do. Now, if he'd have just said yes or no to me, I'd have just gone on my merry way and probably messed everything up. But actually, he was drawing me into dependence on him. Every day when I was looking for guidance, I was looking for someone to make that decision for me. I was coming to him and I was getting a little bit more clarity, a little bit more understanding. I was understanding where my anxiety was coming from, what I was actually scared of. And it got to the point where every morning when I woke up, I just craved spending time with him for that clarity and that peace that he brings. And I feel that I know now what his opinion is on the choice that I'm making, but I know that he and I are in this together, that every step of the way as I walk out this decision I'm making, he's in it with me. And I will continue to keep bringing it back to him because it's the only way I know how to now. It says in the Bible that he'll work all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. And that to me is this beautiful dependence. I've no idea how this situation is going to turn out. I don't know what the future will bring, but I do know that he's ahead of me in it. And he's making the way open and smooth for me to walk through it. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That is maturing in your relationship with God. The world says that you need to work it all out in advance before you take a single step, but with God, he just says, trust me. That as you take that step forward, he will guide you. As you take the next step forward, he will guide you. And sometimes it means stepping before you know what the answer is. Now, the world says that being an adult means being prepared. Now, I prepare. I panic pack, as some people can attest. I will take a suitcase on an overnight trip. I make no apologies for this. I have two hair dryers and a pair of hair straighteners for start. It takes up space. But also, I want to make sure that I have everything I could possibly need because you don't know what the weather's going to be like. You don't know if you might spill something down your clothes. What happens if you spill something down your spare clothes? Before you know it, suitcase. Now, being an adult means being prepared for whatever the eventuality might be. And you can't predict everything. But for those things that you can't predict, you have savings. That's the middle class way. But you can't plan for the future. But as Christians, we have a hope and a faith in the one that knows the future. That yes, we've no idea what's around the corner, but he does know. And no matter what it is, he will bring you through it. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. You can plan and you can plan and you can plan and you can plan. But God might have another way, an easier way, a more fulfilling way. The more we grow in our relationship with God, the more we rely on him to protect us and to provide for us. It's my biggest critic. Being mature in our relationship with God means that you trust that he's already prepared a way through whatever situation you might encounter. The world says that being an adult means being capable. Being a mature adult means you develop skills, skills for grown-up things like cooking and gardening, none of which I can do. John 15, verse 5, however, says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Ah, pressure off. I can be rubbish if I'm trying to do things in my own strength, because actually the one that can do it all is God. And it's only through relationship with him that I learn how to do things, that I get the wisdom to do things, that I get the people around me who I need, that I get the skills that I need, that I get the strength that I need. Being an adult means prioritizing. It means somehow knowing exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen. Our time and our resources are constantly being called upon and being drained. But somehow we're supposed to just be able to assess and work out what's the most important. But being a mature child of God means there's one priority, and that's relationship with God. And from there, he sets all the other priorities. The closer we get to him, the more our thoughts become like Jesus's. And our hearts align with him. And what he's passionate for, we become passionate for. Jesus knew how to prioritize. And his priority was his Father. And it says in the Bible that Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 says, "So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Philippians 1 verse 20 says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honour to Christ, whether I live or die." Put God as your number one focus, and he will take care of all your needs. He'll make sure your life is a fruitful one. He'll transform you to make you more righteous. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24 says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." I don't know about you, but I often feel a burden to do better, especially in my walk with God. Be a better Christian. Get it right. First time. But actually what that verse in Ephesians is saying is that if you throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, and instead let the Holy Spirit do the things in you that God wants to do in you, let him do the work in you, then you will be transformed. You will be righteous and holy. It's not up to us to manufacture that behavior, to strive, to achieve. It's up to God to do the stuff in us. And he promises that what he starts in us, he will finish. Finally, being an adult means being busy. Your most used phrase will be, "Ooh, busy. How's work? Ooh, busy. What was the shops like? What's town like at the moment? Ooh, busy. Do you want to come round this weekend? Oh, busy." It seems to be the only acceptable answer. You're always moving. You're always doing something. You're always busy. I find that I'm constantly running around with, when I'm at work with a laptop on my hip, just going from desk to desk to desk, or I'm at home and I'm just running to the shops or running, but I say running. You know what I mean. It involves a car most of the time. But actually being a child of God means that being busy isn't right. Jesus' life was full, but he was not busy. Busy suggests that you're running around making split-second decisions, not prioritizing, not focusing. And we have this kind of picture of Jesus roaming around the desert, just finding people to heal and fish to multiply. But actually, he was really intentional in everything he did. As I said earlier, he only did what he saw the Father doing. And our Father God does not rush. Jesus was very deliberate in who he spoke to, what he did, who he invested his time and energy in. And in my opinion, and I feel in my own life, that being busy is a sign that I have stopped being a child of God and resting and waiting on him. But instead, I started taking back responsibility and becoming more independent again and trying to do things in my own strength and not living out of God's provision. Isaiah 40 says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." If we are truly resting in God, if we are truly living our lives in accordance with his will for us, then his promise is that we will run and not grow weary, that we'll walk and not faint, that he will provide for us everything that we need. That's his promise. So I guess my question is, for myself and for all of you, where are you trying to be a grown-up in your lives? Where are you taking on the responsibility that isn't yours? Where are you being independent, pulling away from God and doing things yourself? Where are you trying to be capable, where in fact you're just swinging baskets around, dropping produce everywhere? What is God saying to you about being a child? I'm just going to finish with a prayer. Father, I thank you that you are indeed our Father, that you have this when we don't, that you are our strength when we're weak, that you're our hope when we feel hopeless, that you've got our future. You know the future. I thank you that you call us to be like little children, and I ask that you'd help each one of us to be childlike in your presence, to be able to crawl up onto your lap and to just rest with you, to not strive, to not try to be anything that we're not, but to just be loved by you, our Father. Help us to approach you with childlike wonder again. Without all the religion, out all the rules, just relationship with you, Father, our Dad in heaven. We give our lives to you once again, Lord. And we thank you that you will protect us and cherish us and direct us for every day of our lives. Amen.